Thanks, Kim. Biblical stewardship. It's interesting. This has been something that I've been stewing on, processing some for some weeks, thinking about annual meeting day, of kind of wanting to make that the focus. It was interesting. Last week's Pastor Joel's message was fantastic and was much in a similar line thought with where this is going today also. But great encouragement, reminders to us of, as he was sharing, the time that we're given and how are we using it. And I have to personally, just in my own life, over and over process and try to think through that myself, and can get rather disappointed in myself at times with time that is spent on things that just have no value. They have no eternal value. It's just a time waster. And anyway, I just so appreciated Pastor Joel's message last week. That was so encouraging and challenging to me personally. And but thinking of biblical stewardship, what is that, and what does it look like? I guess what is it that we're called to do, and how are we stewards? And what are we stewards of? And honestly, as I was thinking, we could look at so many topics with regards to stewardship. But we're just going to look at four here this morning. But stewardship, the Holman Bible Dictionary definition of biblical stewardship is utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. It's a pretty good definition of what it seems to me of what stewardship, biblical stewardship, is. Utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of His creation. So this morning we're going to take a few moments to just kind of unpackage this a little bit. And I hope that you'll find this encouraging, maybe eye-opening in some ways, but maybe convicting also, as it is in my own life. That's one of the benefits of teaching and preaching, is at least it better, you end up having to get dealt with first, or at least you should be, right? We should be. If you're going to teach it and preach it or whatever, you would hope that the individual that's doing that is processing these things themselves and saying, Lord, this needs to be my life. And that is truly my heart's desire, is to live it out. And I wish I could say that I do it perfectly, but I don't. But that's where the Lord can convict us, right? And sometimes we kind of feel like we get raked over the coals, so to speak. But it's for good, because we've got to get back to the things that matter, the things that the Lord so desires of us in this stewardship that He gives to us. So if you have your bulletins, follow along there. To start with, in Genesis 1:28, it's interesting. You know what? God is the author of everything good. He is the author of life. He is the author of how life should function. He is the author of how families should function. He is the author of how business, and government should function. He is the author of how church should function. He is the one that has designed it and created it, and we actually have an amazing book that we can go to on a regular basis, on a day-to-day basis, and learn about that. And so there's a lot of things that I see in our world today that are being compromised, being thrown out, or disputed and changed and so on. And what saddens my heart is there's a very clear, it becomes more clear to me all the time that in order to do that, you cannot be a true student of the Word. Because God's Word doesn't change. It's faithful. It is steady. It is the truth, right? And it is from Him. I love what it says in Genesis 1, 28, of thinking about the first stewardship that really was laid out for mankind. It says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. We kind of see, you could say, well, initially to just take care of the garden, right? That was their first initial stewardship, and then being obedient in that, and they did really well, didn't they? They decided to go their own way and eat of the things that God had said they should not do. But to see what ultimately here and His design, God's design and purpose, and this is before the fall, but what He calls them to. He calls them to be fruitful, multiply, which involves, that's family, right? Be fruitful, multiply, family. And then this process of taking what God has designed and then spreading that around the world, right? Being a steward of what God has given with the plants and the animals and all of these things. But there's a lot that we can take from Genesis 1:28 of what He has mandated and called Adam and Eve and has called us to do. And it boils down to stewardship. So we're going to see, and as we unpackage this morning, because God created all things, so that's your first point, God has created all things. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. He is the owner. He is the designer. He is the creator of it. And He has set the parameters for which life should be lived. For the parameters of how, what we should be living for and what we should be doing. There is a truth, right? And that's what we know, what we believe, and we understand from God's Word is there is a truth to be known, and it's found right here in God's Word. What troubles me in my own life is it's amazing how many times we can start justifying or tweaking away God's call and purpose upon my life to satisfy my own fleshly desires. And for my own pleasure, for my own purpose, not for God's glory, but for Dean, right? Pursuing something that's all about Dean. It's about what I want. It's not about for His glory. Colossians 1:15 through 18 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. Who are we talking about here? Who are we talking about? Jesus, right? We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. He has created all things. This takes Jesus back to creation, right? This takes Jesus back to the beginning, meaning, oh yeah, that's a good reminder, he's always been, right? Jesus didn't show up at Christmas. He came in flesh and blood, but Jesus has always been. Jesus created all things, and he created it for a purpose. All things were created by God. And ultimately, we could say, in here in Colossians, we could say, Jesus, who is God, right? All things were created by Jesus. All things were created by God. I just want you to know that's an interesting little discussion that you can have with people or point that out to people, and that can be a new thought for them, a new understanding, because they're like, well, no, that was God, the Father, that did that. But no, actually, Jesus is very much placed at creation. He is the one that Scripture in Colossians gives that credit and that glory to. Okay? It was God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit involved in creation. Psalm 24, 1 through 1 and 2 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." God did that. God designed. He had purpose and a plan. And I think, I know for myself, I've got to be reminded from time to time that, Dean, there is a bigger plan than yours. There's a bigger plan and a purpose. There's a bigger mission in life than what you want, but it's about what God wants, and he is so longing for us to walk in obedience to that, just as he was doing with Adam and Eve in the garden. And he laid out clearly what their mission was, what their call was to do, and then we had some serious roadblocks in the way, as we learn in the fall. Yet, because of Christ and because of Christ in us, we now have the opportunity to get right back on that track. And I loved our songs this morning and the time of worship and the things that were shared there. Just that reminder of the victory that we have in Jesus and the purpose and the hope that we have, and that we do not have to give in to the ways of the enemy. We don't. We don't have to. We have the power in us, Christ in us, the Spirit of the living God in us. We have the power to get us back on the right track to biblical stewardship. Remember, utilizing and managing all resources God provides for the glory of God and the betterment of his creation. Lord, will you help me to get back and to be on that track of using and managing all that you have given for your glory? All things were created for a purpose. We've looked at Colossians 1:15, and we see what it said there. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers. All things were created by him and for him, for his glory, that it might be used, we might use it always for the purpose of ultimately pointing people back to Jesus. It's being used for God-honoring means. It's being used and being stewarded or cared for in such a way as Jesus would, and what he would want us to do. Stewardship, caring for it as he cares for us, which is such a humbling thought and a wonder to look at what Christ does for us and how he is a steward, how he deals with us, right? and how his ownership there, again, we are his design and his purpose, but he is now longing for us to get on board with this same mindset of wanting to now use what he has given for his glory. We have been given a stewardship by God, which we looked at in Genesis 1:28. God is the owner of all things. We as stewards have the responsibility of managing it. What a privilege. It's something that we can't ultimately claim. We can't ultimately put our stamp of approval or saying that this is mine, I did this. But to ultimately, if we're going to see things biblically, as we're going to look at further here and as we go through this, to see that all things are his and they're for his purpose and that they're for his glory. We as stewards have the responsibility of managing it. And boy, wouldn't we desire to manage it well, that he might be glorified. Managing it for his glory. Managing it for his glory. Again, that I'm just going to remind you, Colossians 1:16, and what it says. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Isn't it interesting you hear people talk, and we probably do it ourselves, of what we own, what we have, what we're going to do with what I've got, right? And the Lord is longing for us to see things through a biblical stewardship of he has given this, he has entrusted these gifts, these blessings, these individuals in our lives. And he is longing for us to care for them and to lead them and guide them and show them and direct them and care for them in a way that leads them back to him ultimately and for his glory. So there's actually four things. I think I have three. Four key stewardships. We are responsible to manage well. And again, we could look at many more, honestly. But four that I want for us to, for just a moment, to consider. Your relationship with the Lord. Your relationship with the Lord. How did we get it? It wasn't by anything that we have done. It's something that he gave to us. He offered to us and we accepted it. And now he is asking for us to use what he has offered to us. New life in Christ. A new purpose. A purpose that is now not about Dean, but it's all about him. He wants that to be stewarded well. And so how do we do that? What does that look like? Well, in some of the songs this morning and what was mentioned of the Word, right? Going back to the Word of God. That's how are we going to be a good steward of our relationship with Christ? Is you've got to be in the Word. One of the stories that I go back to in the thinking on this is with Mary and Martha. And here's Martha so busy about doing. She's doing stuff. And it's not bad stuff, but she's doing stuff. And here's Mary at the feet of Jesus. And she's learning. And she's understanding him more. And she just wants to know from him. She wants to have fellowship with him. And yet Martha's like, why isn't she helping? Or look what all I'm doing. And she needs to be a part of this. And at the heart of us being a good steward of what God has given to us is, my friends, we better be spending time at the feet of Jesus. We better be spending time in his word. We better be spending time on a personal level. We better be spending a time on a corporate level. Again, we're going to look at this in a moment, but The church, the purpose of the church, this is God's design. This isn't something that man has made up and says, you know, it's a really good idea if you just all get together. God says, no, this is something I treasure. And he says, I want you to be faithful in being a part of it. But then, Lord, will you help me as I kneel at your feet to learn of you and from your word of what you are calling of me to do, to know of you, that I, how I serve, that I serve with love, that I serve with grace and with mercy and kindness, that when I do get involved in serving in life and in ministry, that I'm equipped and prepared to actually do it so it's a reflection of you. We can be so busy about doing things and doing it in such a wretched attitude, or it's all about me, or it's about my way, or it's about, and it's like, for what? That's not God-honoring, and that's not for his glory. So Lord, will you help us to be a good steward of our relationship with you, that we put it as a priority, that we be at your feet as Mary was over and over. She was spending time with her Savior. She was getting to know him more. And then it's not that Martha was doing wrong things. It wasn't that she shouldn't be doing it. It's just that she needed to be spending more time being a Mary so that she could have the right attitude about how she was serving. And she wasn't wouldn't be pointing her fingers at her sister and saying, what is she doing? Why is she in the wrong attitude, the wrong motive, the wrong purpose behind? But if we have a right heart ourselves before how we are to serve, and to be selfless, and to be sacrificial, to be dying to self. All of those synonyms, the same thing of doing, setting aside self to let Christ be more of us. Be a good steward of your relationship with Christ. And my friends, it starts on a personal level. It goes on into a corporate level. The importance of being together. It comes in our Bible studies and in time of inviting people over, having fellowship together with other brothers and sisters. Oh my goodness, what a gift, what a joy it is. But building relationship with him. Psalm 119 1 through 11 says, blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous law. Do you see the heartbeat here of what this psalmist is desiring? And if we're going to do effective service and ministry together, if we're going to be effective as the body of Christ, we better be spending time at the feet of Jesus. We better be spending time on a personal level, getting to know him, but also together, the body, right? Learning together, encouraging each other so that we can serve well. I will obey your decrees and do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against God, against you. Excuse me. My friends, I had somebody here a couple weeks ago that I, whom I love dearly. I challenged them with something. They were talking about just, they were overwhelmed, and maybe I mentioned this already. I don't remember. But overwhelmed, and I've shared with them Philippians 4:8 before, and he got offended with it. He says, why do you keep beating me up with that? And I'm like, listen, I'm not wanting to beat you up with that. What I'm wanting to remind you of is if we're really walking in step with the Lord, if we're having fellowship with the Lord, I don't think we're going to see the heavy burden, the weight that I hear from you, that I see from you on a day-to-day basis. You just can't even function. That's not God. That's not how God operates in our lives. It's He says that He can and He will bring peace and joy and hope in our lives. He can do that. But it's interesting, when we're confronted with truth, how often we get defensive. And yes, it needs to be presented with love. We don't use God's word to beat people up. And that's baloney. That's nonsense. We don't use it to be a weapon to just knock people down, but to encourage. I have to be encouraged and reminded that, Dean, if you are on the pathway of, I'm just going to throw out a word because this isn't where I'm at, burnout or whatever, I am not walking in step with the Lord. I'm doing something wrong in my life. I am putting priorities and things in my life that should not be there. If that was something I'm battling, I am not letting God be God in my life. And I'm probably, as Joel so well shared last week, of just time spent, the things that we do in life can get us totally off track. But it's interesting how we can get defensive about what the truth of God's word says. So it's not actually a battle. It wasn't a battle between me and this individual. This is really a battle between them and the Lord. It's like, do you believe what God's word says? Right? Do you believe that He can give victory, that He can give hope and give life, that we don't have to walk in stress and worry and doubt and all of these things? Do we believe that He can do what He says He can do? I'm believing it more all the time, that yes, He can. I know He can, because I see it in my own life. And every time that I choose to walk away from it, I hate it. I despise the journey of the weight and the burden that comes with it. Your fellowship with family, or your family, excuse me, letter B, your family, your stewardship of your family. There isn't a perfect family out there. We all make mistakes, don't we? We all stumble. We all screw up from time to time. But again, God's word gives us clarity of what He longs for us to do with our families. That our family actually is all about Jesus. It's not about, well, our family, oh yeah, we know Jesus, and then we might go and be a part of an event or even church or whatever, but it's not really a part of my life, our life. It's not a common discussion. It's not something that we're always striving to meet the approval ultimately, or desire the approval, not to meet, but to desire the approval of God putting His stamp of approval upon my family and my life. So often we make it about so many other things. We want people's approval. We want to make everybody happy. And it's just not possible. It's not possible. You can't do it. But what we can do is be steady and faithful in walking in the truth and thinking of family. And I've heard this so many times of, well, I just want my children to be happy. And so there's compromise, and they'll do all of these things to make their children happy. And what they're doing is they're leading them away from the truth. It's not about our happiness. It's about walking in step and fellowship and obedience. It's such a beautiful thing if we make that the focus. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9. We all know this one well. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And these commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk with them When you sit at home and when you are walking along the road, when you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Talking about what God has done. Talking about what God has done. For us as parents to talk about what God has done in our own lives, the brokenness that we had in our own life, the foolish decisions, but to see how God redeemed us out of that and to bring us to walking with Jesus and to new life. And life doesn't always turn out so rosy, but it's so wonderful to be able to talk about what God does through those times and teaches us. Being a good steward of your family outside of your relationship with God, this is number two. We better be good stewards. We better make sure that what we set as an example in our families is going to be something we are desiring for them to live out when they grow old. Because when they get out of our home, they don't just start doing it. They won't. What's going on in our world today of the amount of young people that are defecting the church. When they leave, they don't go back because there wasn't that connection, that the realization, that understanding of the importance of that fellowship and that growing together. But it's also important that those that are serving and that those that are doing it are serving well and serving with the right heart that draws them into wanting to be a part of a relationship with the Lord and with the fellowship. You see how it goes together? Oh, we just wish we had more kids. Well, we got to make sure that our heart's right, right? We got to make sure that we're leading right and that we have the right heartbeat ourselves, that we're being a good steward in the place that God has placed us as leaders. We have to always be evaluating that. But families, stewardship of families, your place of fellowship and worship. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. My friends, do you see here? It says, let us encourage each other in what and where? Let's encourage each other in the body of Christ, together as the church. Let us encourage each other. You have to gather together, and God has designed that. That's not a man-made church. It's not man-made in the sense of the church, the body of Christ. We can go through the pastoral epistles, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and it gives us clear understanding that God designed and ordained for bodies of believers to come together and then to function in a certain way. We're not going to look at that today, but we've done that before and probably should again. But God designed this, and He wants it to have the right heart, the right purpose, the right passion, and it's all about Him. It's not my work. It's not my ministry. This isn't my church. This isn't the elders' church. This is His work. And He's called us together as fellow believers with a common mind and desire to walk in the truth. We have some brothers and sisters, and some maybe that aren't brothers and sisters, but those that are struggling and wrestling with things in our own community right now, and where they're going to do, where they're going to go, and what they're going to do. What holds us together? What binds us together? It's the truth. It's the truth of God and His Word, and we can't compromise on it, but we also better be doing it with love. With love. Being a good steward of the fellowship in which God has called you to and to worship with. Stewardship. You have, as we have seen before, as we look at spiritual gifts, and so God has given each of us, if we know Christ as Savior, we all have a purpose. We all have gifts. We have availability. What God wants to do to encourage the body of Christ together. And that's all of us. That's not Pastor Joel and myself and the elders and the ladies group. It's everybody has a purpose. We all have a role and a responsibility to encourage each other even as the day approaches. 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And he tells us to start with the church and then to go out from there. We start with the body of Christ. That's where we serve and we love each other and we grow together and we encourage to cry together and so on. And then we go out. We go out and make a difference in this messed up world. But we have to be the church. We have to be something that they look at and they say, this is different than what we get out there in our little community of people. There's love there. There's kindness. There's joy. There's fellowship around healthy and God-honoring things for His glory. Let us remember these things. Let me remember these things, Lord. Well, your place of fellowship and worship. Malachi 3, 7 through 10. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from the decrees and have not kept them. Return to me. I'm trying to figure out why I don't have finances in here. Where? Your money. Or do I have my stuff screwed up? I don't know. It don't matter. There should be a fourth one. Is there? Money. Okay. Finances. Malachi. This is where it's going. How are we... let me go back. Excuse me. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decree and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if it will not grow, throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Stewardship of our money in our home and in everything. Who owns it? Whose money is it? It's the Lord's money. He has made it possible for us to make the money that we make, right? To earn it or to go out and he provides the jobs. He does all of these things. And even our money is not ours. So, Lord, will you help us, whether it's whatever it's with. Lord, will you help me to use your money with a stewardship that represents that it's yours. And I want for you to be glorified with it. I've got to tell you, when we look at the last year, tough times, bring on Pastor Joel, yet God blessed beyond what he has in the years past, in the last 4 or 5 years. Isn't that cool what God does? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. One of the things that I know we have unfortunately tested this in our own lives, in life early on in our marriage, of not being faithful givers to the Lord. Oh, he would always get the remains. He'd get the scraps, so to speak, if there was any left. And many a month would go by when he wouldn't get anything, and because we've got things to pay. Well, we had some things that were screwed up in our lives more than just giving to the Lord as we should have been. But when we started faithfully making our money a focus of it's his rather than ours, and giving of our first fruits, fascinating to see how God chose to provide and bless through that. You can't outgive the Lord, and I love that. I'm thankful that we have a church family that has proven to be very faithful in your giving. I don't know who you are. I don't know if it's a few and it's a lot, or if it's all and a little. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. The Lord's providing and the Lord is doing a work. And I just want to remind us to be faithful stewards of what God has given to us, even our money. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heaven, heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. In Colossians 3:23, we've read that already. Actually, what I want to remind us, we have not read that. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. This is true for all of your stewardships, right? Of all the different things that you are a steward of, be a good steward, and there is ultimately a blessing that comes with that, reward. And that's not, shouldn't be our motivation, but it's a great reminder that you're actually going to be blessed for being a good steward of what God has given you to use for his glory. And I want to close with Matthew 25:21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." My friends, and maybe to do justice, I should have gone through and just dealt with each of those on a Sunday basis, because there's so much that we could talk about of how do we be a good steward in each of these areas. But I just want to remind us that all that we have is a gift from the Lord. The breath that we have, our kids, our money, our home, our possessions, whatever they are, they're his, and he is longing for us to be a good steward of it for his glory. So there's a lot of things to process, to think through, to ask the Lord to give clarity on what that looks like for each of us, right? But what I want to challenge you in closing thought with is, in order for all of this to function well, can we commit to being a Mary and be kneeling at the feet of Jesus and asking for him to give us clarity of what he wants for us to do? Be at the feet of Jesus and asking him to help us to be involved in the things that he says are good and right. And when we do that, and he is able to change our heart and change our minds to reflect him, everything that we do, the stewardships that we have, will become something so much more beautiful even than they are already. But it's got to start there. Would you stand with me as we close? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of reflection upon stewardship in our lives, Lord, and what you desire for us. Lord, we're thankful that you're the author, you're the owner. You've designed all these things, and you've entrusted them to us. Lord, you are desiring for us to be used as stewards, to do with the things that you have entrusted to us, to ultimately bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, will you help us in that journey as we wrestle through that, talk about it, as we, what a better topic to think about than that, Lord, just to talk about how can we be better stewards of the things that you have given to us. Grow us in these truths, Lord. We love you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.